What we have for you right now, this is a project that we had in the works here. Whenever we have any type of milestone type show, we always want to highlight it with a certain type of high profile guest if we can. For the fourth anniversary show back in January, we got lucky. Everything worked out that night to be able to bring on Bob Barker for the third time. Sometimes you can make it happen. Sometimes you can't. When we did our 100th episode last year, quite frankly, we weren't able to get any big names on that night. I think we had Kenny Albert from Fox Sports on for 99, so we weren't too disappointed. But sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Tonight, it did work. We have his excellent book that came out here. His publishing house was nice enough to send it to us. I will hold it up to our high-definition cameras. It is called Rubber Balls and Liquor, and it is an interesting memoir slash rendition of the stand-up act. It's an interesting melding of the two. I haven't really seen anybody else be able to pull it off, but he did seamlessly, and it's a pleasure to have on the program here tonight Gilbert Gottfried as our keynote guest here for the 150th episode. Gilbert, welcome to the FDH Lounge, sir. Pleasure to have you on with us tonight.
Yes, I pulled it off.
Yes.
That's something I'm known for.
Yes, yes, you are. But before I get to a question about the book here, let me ask you something. There's two people that I know you know an awful lot about. We had on our last show one of our guests, of course, a fellow comedian of your in your industry there, Pat Cooper, who right now has a big brouhaha going on with Howard Stern. Those two have lit into one another pretty good. I guess probably more of it's come on Pat's end on that. But you, of course, you're an insider with the Stern show, too. Obviously, you cross paths on the comedic circuit with Pat Cooper all the time. You got any thoughts on this particular beef they got between them?
I haven't heard about the most recent one. But the idea of Howard Stern and Pat Cooper actually being angry and hating somebody, it doesn't seem possible. Yeah, I mean, like, when has Howard Stern ever had a feud with anyone? And then when has Pat Cooper ever been crazy?
I mean, that's a good point, Gilbert. I mean, normally you're talking about two guys without a crossword to say about anybody, right?
Yeah, the two of them are like Mr. Rogers.
Well, implausible though it may seem, yeah, apparently there's quite a feud going. And the way Pat went off on him on our show, I'm a believer. There seems to be nothing showbiz about it, but he had a very interesting book. Now, I'm going to compare and contrast for a minute, because his was more, you know, memoirs in sort of the classic type of sense. Yours was really interesting here. I mean, the title alone, Rubber Balls and Liquor, is going to tell you that. Your thing here, you know, you're telling your life story here, but pretty well blended in with, you know, your stand-up act, your trademark creativity. So talk about the process here, how that came to pass as you were putting this together, how you decided you wanted to go about doing it.
Well, first of all, like anything, just like movies get made and TV shows get made, first I got a book deal. And then after I got the book deal, I say I was happy about that until I realized, uh-oh, now I actually have to write a book. So I started writing it, and it's amazing that once it came out, the New York Times and Publishers Weekly gave it rave reviews. And a few reviews have said, at times it gets warm and touching and revealing and then quickly veers off into immature and obscene. So it's basically like talking to me in person.
Well, so it's got the authentic Gilbert Gottfried ring to it then, definitely, huh?
Yes. It's just if it's the next best thing to actually being talking to me and getting annoyed like that.
Well, it's interesting as well on the time frame with the book coming out, because it is very recent, but you touch on something on page 153 here that kind of prefaces something that happened after the book came out. Specifically, it's very interesting to note that you said in the book here, talking about the Aflac campaign, quote, "Curiously, they even ran this campaign in Japan, but over there they found my voice too abrasive," end quote. So that almost seems like a precursor of some type of trouble to follow, huh?
Yes. See, it's mysterious that way, the book. It's kind of like reading the works of Nostradamus.
Yeah. I don't know if you were Babe Ruth calling your shot there, Gilbert, but that was definitely like a sign or a premonition or something. You weren't cheating because it hadn't happened yet. But, yeah, it was almost, you know, how you thought to mention Japan in the book here and reference that. It was jarring when I read that, I got to tell you.
Yes, I predicted so many things. See, Nostradamus never predicted a thing. He always seems to predict stuff after it happens. It's like after something happens, people go back to Nostradamus and go, well, that could be something he said. Me, I actually make these predictions.
Yeah, you pretty much did. And amazing though it was. Yeah, I'm reading that in there. You specifically referenced that about Japan and the Affleck campaign. And I got to tell you, I mean, I had the same reaction when this hit, I think, that a lot of people did. I very rarely, in any type of controversy like that, have sympathy with the corporation that's retaining the person, because I'm looking at this. I think most people are looking at this and thinking, this is Gilbert Gottfried. This is what his act is. If you haven't factored that into the equation ahead of time, that there's something that might shock or horrify you at some point, why are you asking me to feel sorry for you when something does happen? So it just, I you know, for Affleck to have done that, obviously they felt like they needed to move in a different direction there and get away from the duck voice that you did, but it just seemed very disingenuous to me. They knew who Gilbert Gottfried was at the outset.
Oh, thank you. And unfortunately, I'm still at that point where I can't really talk much about Affleck.
Okay.
But it did become a major news item. It's like I feel like years from now, aliens will dig up this culture and think, hey, did he cause the tsunami, this guy? it's one of those things. It's like, and I always felt like since the beginning of time, these kind of jokes have been around. They'll be around till the end of time. You know, when there's a tragic situation, people make jokes about it. People make jokes at funerals. People, I'm sure when Christ was on the cross, there were people in the crowd making jokes. But in all fairness to them, he wasn't really Christ at the time. He became Christ later when he came back.
It hadn't quite gotten to that that point yet, but I seem to remember some similar things here, and it's especially probably true, especially in the circles that you're in, guys like you, and ironically on the last show, Pat Cooper, who also does a lot of Friars Club roasts and also is renowned for the same type of stuff here. But any of you guys that are in that circle, I remember when Greg Giraldo passed away, and there was a thing there at the time about there were some jokes being made by various people on Twitter, and you know,
yeah,
there was a sense of what's a good tribute and a good monument to the guy and something that he would have laughed at, you know, versus what's in bad taste. That's a really interesting thing to look at.
And I when I found out, like, when I find out the exact second I found out that Greg Giraldo died, I immediately went to Twitter and said that if Greg Giraldo was cremated, will that be the Greg Giraldo roast? And then I followed it by saying, good news, Greg Giraldo's loved ones are cleaning out his house, and they'll be sending me a set of towels, initial GG.
Well, and you know, you were the most noteworthy example of that, but there were others as well. I'm not thinking of any specifics here at the moment, and it's very interesting because, again, for anybody that watched all the Comedy Central roasts as I have, I mean, that's the kind of style of stuff that Greg would have done, clearly. I mean, now I'm not saying that, you know, if you'd passed away, that would have been what would have come out of his mouth. Who knows? Who can say exactly what he would have said? But you are putting your finger on a specific type of comedy that he appreciated and that he propagated, no question about it.
Oh, yeah. And I was also like, the first one to make a September 11th joke.
Yep.
And then I followed that by doing The Aristocrats, and it shows you how weird audiences are, because they got truly offended and upset about the September 11th joke, but when I followed it with a joke that's about incest and bestiality, they were fine with that.
I'm always fascinated by what constitutes that line that just shocks and horrifies people, because I'm thinking back a couple of years. I think it was Jimmy Kimmel at the Flava Flav roast when he said about Flava Flav that he was a worse father than Chris Benoit. And this was right after the Benoit murder suicide, and everybody oohed and aahed about that. Yeah, I admit I kind of did too, but I'm thinking to myself, at one of these things, at one of these roasts, what do you expect? I mean, you know, I don't know if overtly all of you guys are walking in there trying to top one another, but everybody's trying to bring their A game and what they think constitutes it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel like it's like if you've truly hurt someone, then you've done your job.
Well, you've accomplished a lot of your work, I'm sure, over a period of time, certainly Gilbert, because you've had very effective, very piercing humor on a lot of these occasions. It's interesting too how somebody with your stand-up act and a lot of the material as it's kind of laid out in the book here, you know, you've done not just Affleck, but you've done a fair amount of innocuous voiceover type work as well here. So it's really interesting how you've been able to diverge into areas that, you know, if somebody saw you doing the onstage thing, would be completely different.
It's like I said, my career walks the tightrope in between early morning children's programming and hardcore porn.
it's something that's really developed over a period of time, because the book really kind of lays it out. I mean, there's a fair amount of voiceover projects that you've really done over a period of time here. It's something where, and I understand from a friend of mine that was trying to break into the industry a couple of years back, it's not necessarily the easiest thing to get into, but everything seems to have flowed pretty well for you as far as getting these kind of gigs.
And even easier to lose them.
Well, true. You know, yeah. How often does that happen? I mean, because obviously the Affleck thing was pretty high profile, but I mean, has that been a fairly common occurrence over a period of time here, where something you say or do at a roast or some type of stand up thing or whatever, you know, pisses somebody off? Is that fairly commonplace? Doesn't happen that often? How does that basically work?
I'm used to people getting offended by me. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the people, it was an amazing thing. Like, when this first happened, like, the entire news media treated it like it was, like, actually a bigger story than the actual tsunami.
Yeah.
That I did the jokes. And at first, there were those psycho people who were tweeting me and emailing me with, like, threatening, you know, saying you and your whole family should be dead and blah, blah, blah. And then after 2 days, it completely turned around and everyone was, it was just an overflow of people going, you know, hey, that's what you do and that's why we listen to you.
Well,
It's
very interesting too, because I'm always fascinated when we get our guests on the program here, the ones that are tied in with social media and using it as effectively as you do. Something like that with Twitter. I mean, previously, I'm guessing it probably would have had to be something like you'd be at an event somewhere and there just happened to be a camera and you might, you know, say something into the camera. You'd have to kind of go out of your way before social media to really kind of get this across here. But 140 characters allows you to just kind of, boom, throw it up there, and the world reacts very shortly thereafter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it is one of these things, like if I did it at a club or in any place else, and I have done this kind of, I mean, I do this kind of comedy all over. I do it on TV, I do it on the radio, but now it is like this whole new thing where with Twitter, just that anything you say becomes big.
It really...
And it's like, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just saying, anything you say on Twitter becomes big. And then it's like, what I loved is the ones that blew it up the biggest were TMZ and Perez Hilton, who were the most shocked and offended and morally outraged.
Well, let me ask you about that. Let's take a look at the overall kind of state of celebrity here, because you're joking in the book here about where you are on the totem pole, and you know, down here by this person, you referenced Lauren Taze, I think, from the Love Boat. So you were about that. Are you amazed at the capacity of something like this that you can say or do something, and that I mean, for somebody like you, it's never been this easy to get TMZ's attention, whether you want it or not.
Well, it's a funny thing about this is that the minute it happened, and it's like, and the minute all the news media was said, you know, Gottfried's career is over now, it's ended. And that's when my Twitter account multiplied by a few thousand. And it's like, I was like trending all over the internet, and it was like, you know, before this, it's, you know, what always makes me laugh is that when people get on the cover of magazines or the top story of the show with the title that their career is over, because if your career is truly over, they just don't mention you.
Well, that's true. Nobody's ignoring you, and nobody's about to. But as far as it goes with fellow celebrities here, I'm interested to know your thoughts when somebody like one of the most famous guys on the planet, LeBron James, this was something that you referenced on your Twitter account a couple of days ago. He gets caught making a funny squinting face to the camera holding a basketball. Looks like at practice. The sports blog picks up on it, and they probably weren't the only ones that picked up on it, and basically called it the Gilbert Gottfried impression. I mean, you know, what goes through your head when you see something like that? Somebody of enormous worldwide fame, and they're basically, whether they meant to or not, they're doing something that everybody says is an imitation of you.
Well, all my career, I've been compared to black basketball players. That's sad. It's something I've always aspired to, and I finally succeeded.
So this is just the latest manifestation then, huh? Are there instances of anybody comparing you to Walt Frazier back in the day?
Oh, yes, and Shaquille O'Neal is famous for his Gilbert imitation.
Well, that was really pretty funny. You know, when I saw that picture, and our senior producer had emailed it to me also. It was great to see. But Gilbert, we always love to give our guests a chance to plug. So I'm holding up this great book to the camera here, Rubber Balls and Liquor. Anything else that you got going on that you're heavily promoting right now? Please put it out there.
Well, you could get the book and also my Dirty Joke DVD called Gilbert Gottfried Dirty Jokes on GilbertGottfried.com. Or you could just get the book on Amazon or on GilbertGottfried.com. And my Twitter account, believe it or not, I still have one, is @RealGilbert. And I've got two things on those, like, sites of Funny or Die. I have one called Too Soon. And on College Humor, I have one called Roast of Facebook.
Well, we have links up to all of these tonight here at our rundown tonight at the FDHLounge.com, Gilbert, for your Twitter account, for your website's homepage and everything like that. And the folks can go there and click it and check it out there. And it's all real enjoyable to check out from there. It has been great talking with you about the book and everything else you got going on here tonight, Gilbert. Really lived up to the expectation. Thank you so much for being our keynote guest on our 150th episode tonight.
Oh, thank you. And go get Rubber Balls and Liquor.
Absolutely. Go get the book, too. Gilbert, thank you so much. We love to have you back sometime, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate it. Gilbert Gottfried, everybody. The one and only. We appreciated having him on the program here tonight. There is only one Gilbert Gottfried. No question about that.